Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and we're here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And I want to thank God for another Saturday morning. I thank God for you coming on and listening and participating and hearing what God has to say. And before we get started, let's give thanks. Father God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for health and strength, and I thank you for just loving me unconditionally, loving us all as your children. It will never, ever separate us from your love. That's very powerful. And Father God, this morning I ask you just bless this world, bless the many nations that are fighting against each other. And it's just like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Father God, this morning I'm asking for a special blessing for the mothers and fathers and sons and daughters that create the family. There's so much turmoil in the family, killings and the shootings. Father God, this morning I pray for peace. And I pray for the spirit of love to just blanket over this earth so that we could see the intent of your vision for us as children here on the earth, to enjoy the earth, to love each other, and to have fun, and to play in this Garden of Eden. So, Father God, this morning I ask a special blessing for mothers, because mothers are the ones that you've chosen to pass through your humans onto this earth. And we have a special anointing to nurture. Father God, this morning I'm asking for that nurturing spirit to rise up in every mother, that she could see and change her mind from where she is now to where she should be with a focus on her children. And we ask for a special blessing for the entire family, that we become the godly family that you created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, as you could tell, as I'm thanking God, you know, there's a lot of stuff going around, and I know if you're looking at television, you see the actions. I try not to get involved with a lot of things because I don't have enough information to sometimes talk about what's going on, and I try not to do that because I'd rather just pray for the entire situation, because Lord knows, I don't know. We think we know. We just know what we hear, what we see on television, and what people say, but there's the truth, and then there's the untruth. There's only two parts to it. And if you don't have all the facts, it's not good to give your opinion on things, and I try to stay away from that. But it's one thing that I want to say this morning is that we all as mothers need to come together, and we've got to pray and ask Father to help us nurture the children. Mothers, if we nurture the children and stay focused on the children, that can help greatly. I believe in my heart and soul. That's the whole purpose of mother and daughter. This ministry is to bring attention to the mother, is that we've got to change our minds. We've got to really focus on what's important, what God has assigned us to do. He gave you a daughter. He gave you a son for the fulfillment of the kingdom. And we need to focus on what our role is. What is it that you want me to do, God? Well, how do you want me to raise this child? What did you send this child to do? And if you notice, I'm speaking broadly today. I'm speaking of the children. We have got to stay focused, mothers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So get your pen and paper and get your favorite drink and sit back and relax. And while you're doing that, if you feel like it, text a friend and tell them to call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078 to listen to the program today. We're on Blog Talk here. We have a conversation with mothers and daughters around the world. And I want to thank all the mothers and daughters for coming on. I know that, you know, it seems like it, because we have co-hosts, it seems like it's a private conversation, but it's not. I appreciate you listening. But if it's ever a nudge in your spirit, or God is putting something on your heart to say, you know, just do it. Just do it, because if you do it, then what you're going to do is be a blessing to someone else. Don't just sit back and have something and think, well, that might not be important. I don't want to sound really crazy on the radio. I don't want nobody to think that what I said didn't make sense, but it will make sense. I could do that myself. And in fact, when I started this radio program, I was being beaten up. You know, Satan was trying to beat me up. Oh, nobody want to hear what you have to say. You're not a radio personality. You know, you don't have the voice for it. You know, all kind of excuses just to keep me from doing what God had asked me to do. And finally I said, start a radio program a year before this program. And God told me he wanted me to be on radio. So I started a radio. It was an internet. It was another network. It's before Blog Talk and before, you know, it got very popular. But I got busy. I changed my mind. I started, and I thought, and I was doing it on Monday night. And I had guests coming on, and I was doing it. I didn't really sit down and really went through the business plan with God. I told me I jumped off and started doing it. But then I got weary, because I was like, oh, man, I work all day. I come home. I don't have time to do this on Monday night. And I changed my mind and decided I wasn't going to do it. And God allowed me to just go on. But I can look back now and see some effects from changing my mind on what God has asked me to do. And mothers, that's something that you might want to think about. Now, this wasn't even in my thoughts this morning when I was jotting down some notes. This is something God wants somebody to hear. If God asked you to do something and you changed your mind, you need to go back, and then you need to say, let's start all over again. God, can we start all over again? And that's what I did with this radio program. You know, I told you to start the radio program. So many things was going south in my life. I said, okay, Lord, I am sorry. I repent. Can we just please start all over again? And I started this program 5 years ago, and he told me to do it on Saturday morning. He didn't give me the luxury of doing it on Monday night, evening, after work. No. You know, you do it on Saturday morning. You know, because on Saturday morning, that's when people want to lay back, relax, they've worked all week, you know, this is my time. Like, yeah, do you have any time? Not really. You don't own time. If it's your time to go home, to leave this earth, there's nothing you can do. You can't say, God, I have some extra time in my bank, and I want to spend this time. Can I give you this ticket on time? No, you don't own any time. And when you get that, you know you're on God's time with everything that you do. You're not your own. Whatever he asks you to do, you need to do it, and you need to do it immediately. Immediately. Now. So I started this program, And yes, it was a challenge in the beginning, very challenging, because Saturday morning, always something someone was doing. They wanted you, you know, but Dr. Fletcher, we want you to come to this. Dr. Fletcher, we want you to do that. The challenge. But I said no. And out of the 5 years, I probably, because of events with mothers and daughters, nothing personal, just the events of mother and daughter, when we're having something on Saturday morning and I try to work the radio program and that event, a couple of times it worked and a couple of times it didn't. But I could say maybe 5 times out of 5 years we have not been on the air, if it's that many. Pretty much now three. My spirit is saying three. 5 years every Saturday morning I get up. And now it's to the point where it's a part of me. It's a part of my being. I don't get up with how many people is going to be on the radio today, how many people is going to talk today. I don't do that. I just get up, release myself to the Holy Spirit, and allow him to speak. So, you know, well, I think I'm going to start a radio program. I'm like, have at it. Because if we do things just to be doing things, and God didn't put it in, I mean, it's going to be, you know, a constant struggle. Get up on Saturday mornings, I'm so relaxed. I don't have to jump and run in the beginning. I'm writing and trying to hear and all. It's so simple. God asked you to do it. I just get up, release myself, and he just tells me this is what we're going to talk about today. And this morning he was talking about, you know, you need to extend that conversation. You need to extend that conversation because there's some other things that mothers need to hear about changing their mind. So that's where we are today. Our stimulating topic is an extension from last week, Mothers and Daughters Changing Their Minds, Part 2. I'll catch you up with some of the conversations for the new people that are on. And, of course, you can always go to our website, www.mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. And go to media and click on listen. And you can listen to all of the past radio programs. We have a bunch of them, 5 years of them. So check out last week if you want to catch up with the conversation, Mother and Daughter Changing Their Minds. But don't do it right now. Just jump in where we are now, and let's just keep it going. Again, I am your host, Dr. Bessie, and we're here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And some people say, how do you know it's mothers and daughters around the world? Because it is. The Internet's around the world. And we can always check when we check. And I look at some of the data. You can tell who's clicking on from where. And it's just all over the world. You know, Internet, people on their computer. And they're listening. So it just, it amazes me. And not to prolong this conversation, but see, God told me that what I would be doing, this was in 97, before Internet got very, very popular, in my life at least, that the work that I would do would be based on the Internet. And I'm thinking, Internet? Because at that time, I was just emailing to my professor, my papers, and because he wouldn't take it any other way. He said, I want no hard copies. Everything has to be uploaded. Well, at that time, I was fighting. Everybody was fighting. Nobody wanted to learn how to upload documents. And now you think about it, it sounds so silly. But then, you know, I'm like, we're not going to do this. But, you know, there was no other way to get him a paper except to learn how to upload that information. So I couldn't even envision the Internet the way that it is now, and most of you couldn't either, and still don't know that much about it, the vast, how broad it is and what it can do, but I do know it's a connection to mothers and daughters around the world, and it's a wonderful opportunity, and as God told me in 97, and I'm telling you, what we're doing, even down to the television, will be done on the Internet. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. Here we are in the middle. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one, at gmail.com. And again, our stimulating topic this morning, Mothers and Daughters Changing Their Minds, part two. We're going to continue from last week's conversation. I want to thank all of you for taking your time out this morning, your busy schedule, to come to the round table to listen as you drive in your car, as you walk, as you clean your house. You know, it's on. It's so convenient. You dial on the number, and you can set the phone down and just sit and listen as you move around and do what you do. I want to thank my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo, and Frieda Hunter for being with us. I'm not on the switchboard, but I always go back later. You can tell when I go there. I try not to go there until it's time to get your comments. Let's see what else we have this morning before we get. And, of course, for the newcomers, we base our program on the whole mother and daughter concept on Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And if you think about that, mothers, if you just think, I want you to write that down. As is the mother, so is her daughter. And then you write that down and meditate on that. God will give you revelation of who you are, mother. Revelation. You will know who your daughter is going to be. You will know if you need to change your mind. And when I say change your mind, when you change your mind, then you're going to change your actions. Your will is going to change. Your thought is going to change. Your reality is going to change. Therefore, not only are you changing yourself, as you change, mother, daughter is changing. I mean, get that. As you change, now that's a revelation for you right there. As you change, you are changing your daughter with you. Now that's God. He just showed it to me. As is the mother, so is the daughter. So, mother, you have power. See, I keep saying you have power and authority over your daughter. You have power and authority over your daughter. But I never got this revelation out of that. The power and authority over your daughter, that you can change your daughter just by changing you. Because God is not a liar. He said, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Now think about it. Who are you? Who are you really? I'm not talking about the person that you're pretending to be, the person that you show somebody when you're in public. Who are you really in your heart? See, that's what God looks at. You could pretend all day long, but it's that heart intent that creates that daughter. Who are you? Are you having negative thoughts about someone? Are you hating on someone? Are you despising? Are you jealous? Are you envy? See, you may not think that's relevant. You may think it's your own private secret. You may think, oh, that's just nobody don't know. But God knows. See, that's the key. God knows. He sees everything. He knows everything. So those deep, dark secrets, those hidden secrets, those hidden hatreds and pretense that you're sneaking around doing, you think nobody know about it? God knows. And those spirits are transferred over to your daughter. Because if you've got it, she's going to get it. If you got it, mother, she's going to get it. Not the word of Dr. Bessie. So you have to dig deep and sit and do an analysis of yourself. Who am I? Who am I? I did that when I first started my journey of asking God, why am I here? Why am I here, God? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? You just didn't make Bessie. I mean, you had a thought in your head. And you saw me. You created me in your mind. You saw me on your vision. And all of a sudden, I became a reality. You even saw that I was going to have a daughter named Angie. You knew that. What is my purpose? And see, I'm in my purpose. That's why sometimes, you know, I had to cut back on my conversations with some people because I was getting on my friends' nerves. Even my husband's was getting all crazy. You know, you're like, mother, daughter. So I had to kind of learn. I was excited because I'm in my passion. I found my purpose. And when you find your purpose, then you are the same. So I had to learn to not wear people out so much talking about my passion because, they had not find theirs. So a person that's not in their passion don't understand a person that's in their passion. They think you're annoying. They think you're bragging. They think you're always trying to make them look little when you're just excited that you're in your passion. And my passion was to teach people how to manage their intra-conversation, how the words, the thoughts, the visions equal your reality. Once I got that, I even named my company Mike, M-Y-I-C. Managing your intrafation. I've been doing it for 30-some years. What? Since 1982. That's when I discovered. I kept asking God, why am I here? And he said, the reason that I sent you is that I want you to let my people know how I communicate with them. And I do it one or two ways. I come through the intra conversation or I come through man. So the intra conversation between me and you, I will never leave you. I will always be connected to you. You will always be able to talk to me because it's a part of your soul. It's not just something floating around. It's a part of your soul. That's why you will always remember. Even when the soul leaves the body and the spirit descends, it carries that same memory back. The other is that I will communicate with you through man. That's why someone can come and tell you something, and you say, wow, thank you. That's confirmation. Because you knew you had that conversation with God. You knew no one knew but you and God. And he sent someone to confirm that so that you would know. Confirmation. And the confirmation only comes when you're not clear to know that God told you to do it. So once I got that, that's been my role. Everywhere I go, all my corporate training, all the training I've done with women in public housing across the country, everything is based around, my counseling is based around the conversation. First, know who you are. You got to first know what you're processing in your head. Whose words are you using? And once you get that, you got to get that first. Then you can come up with the forgiveness and the love, but you got to get yourself right. So mothers, if your conversation, because remember we're spirits, your daughter is a spirit. Your daughter's spirit is connected to you. And just as you transferred information from the umbilical cord to that daughter, it's still an invisible umbilical cord that's connected to that daughter. That's why God said, as the mother, so is the daughter. You'll never disconnect. I don't care what craziness is going on in the earth realm. I don't care if she's not speaking to you. I don't care if she's acting like you're the worst mother in the world. You're still connected. You'll always be a mother and daughter team. Going you, it's going to transfer supernaturally to that daughter.
because, like I said, God cannot lie. As is the mother, so is her daughter. So that's how, wow, that was not on my notes either. I didn't know that prior to. That was a lesson for me as well. Because now I'm going to be more careful, even with my thinking. Because how I'm being is how my daughter's going to be. That is elevating my thought and my relationship with my daughter. God, I thank you for that. And as I tell you, I'm the one that's being taught. And he allowed me to share it with you. So don't ever think that I'm here preaching to you. No, I'm never preaching to you. I'm only sharing my lessons learned with you. You can take them, use them in any way that you see fit. It's allowed me to come on this radio program to share his teaching with me, with you, to be a blessing to you. Like I tell you, if it don't fit, it doesn't hit your spirit, throw it in the trash can, keep it moving. Because it can only fit when you're ready for it. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You know when you get it, it'll hit your spirit. You'll say, wow, she's talking to me. It's okay. It's okay. Now do something with it. Change your mind. Whatever it is that you're doing, and it hits your spirit, your mind. So you had to do that. If you're a Christian and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you had to change your mind. Any forward movement, mothers, toward anything that you hope to obtain, you have to change your mind. Otherwise, you'd have it where you are right now. If you don't have it right now in the same mindset. So if you have a certain mindset about your daughter, your relationship with your mother, daughter, if you don't change your mind, you can live your whole life in the same situation. I've had mothers and daughters to come sit in my office, and the one I think that stands out more than any, and I often talk about it, was a 58-year-old lady came in and brought her mother. She's been coming and having counseling, and it was always somebody else's fault, and the reason this is happening because of this, that, and the other, and it started off because she saw an article in the paper. And she called me and she says, I want to come and talk to you. I'm having issues with my daughter. Her daughter was in her 30s. And she said, I just need to talk to you. When she came, it was the daughter this, the daughter that, the daughter, daughter, daughter. And I said, okay, but what about you? Let's talk about you first before we bring the daughter in. Because, see, she wanted to come and prepare my mind so when the daughter came, I would be biased. And I won't allow people to do that. I tell the mother, I don't want to hear what you have to say about the daughter. Don't tell me what you think about the daughter. Let me do the discoveries myself. That's my role. Because, see, what you're going to tell me is containing the issues that you're dealing with. So you want me to be on your side. Simply by telling me the negatives about your daughter. Especially when you can't balance it out. She does this and I do this and I know we're both wrong. Now, I can understand that and I can hear that. But if it's always the other one wrong and you are never wrong, then you have to think about it. In every situation, we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. And at the time, you know, we could spoil our children, and they were very wealthy. But because of the divorce, the children still were connected to the father and the money. So as she felt her connection, because she was getting ready to run out of her alimony, she wanted to pull the children. Now, these are grown children from the father. Cannot take children out of a wealthy situation and ask them to leave something that they've grown up with. They even lived in a castle. A castle. It got so intense that the son flew in from New York all the way down to North Carolina to talk to me every other Friday. Because that's how, when we start off with the mother and daughter, we end up with the father and the son. Somewhere along the line, their activity play a part. And so here we go. But what am I saying? Tell you that she was so intense, and she brought a mother in. And her father passed the week before. And I've been talking to her and the daughter about this time. And when the father passed, and she brought the mother. And, I mean, I looked at this lady, 80-some years old, 85 years old, hurt from losing her life partner. The children are fighting. And her whole motive was around, you always like my brother better than you like me. 58 years old, saying that it can't be corrected. But I'm just saying, if you learn from this lesson, you need to change your mind today, because it's just going to stay in your life and you're going to be miserable and you're not going to achieve what you want. You won't have that joy that you should have with your daughter. You won't have that joy. You don't want to wake up at 85 and your whole life has passed you by and your grandchildren are connected and they see you fighting. This thing is a dangerous disease from Satan. It will pass down from generation to generation. How many times have I seen this in my office? Generation. My mother didn't speak to her mother. And I don't speak to my mother. It's just like, oh, sister, mother, sister, daughter. I mean, you can't get around that. That is the only truth. As is the mother, so is the daughter. So I'm sitting there. We started at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I'm thinking it's just going to be a couple hours. We started at 10, and we went to 6 o'clock. I'm telling you, it was an all-day situation. And I didn't know quite how to cut it off, but I'm the type of counselor that I will stay until God tell me to, that's it. And he never released me, and we kept going. And the daughter was there, and the 30-some-year-old girl, the 8-year-old mother, 85-year-old grandmother, and the grandmother just kept saying, what can I do? I've asked you to forgive me. She was not ready to let it go. So all day long, then there was the grandson who was less than a year old that was the pawn that everybody was fighting around. But everything that she said her mother did to her, the young girl, you say your mother want to control you and you want to control me and you want to control my son. But she said to her mother, I'm telling you right now, when I leave here, if you don't take the advice from Dr. Bessie, because I think that's the best plan for us to work this whole thing out, and we worked out a plan of action how they could, you know, start repairing that relationship. She said, you won't see your grandson. I promise you that. So the grandson was, there we go, with that child being the pawn. And every time we thought we had some resolution, she'd come back with something else. So I don't want to drag this out, but I want you to understand, at the end of the day, the daughter left and says, okay, you don't agree? That's it. Do you know, 1 year later, the mother called me, and she was raving
upset, a year, saying that her daughter has still not allowed her to see her grand. I said, but she told you. You wasn't willing to work it out. It had to be your way. You wasn't willing to negotiate. You wasn't willing to forgive. I can't make her allow you to see your grandchild. See, that's why we have to change our minds. That's why God brought that story up in my mind, to share with you. Can we be so stubborn as mothers that we would jeopardize the relationship with the grandchildren because of our position, that we got to be right? I'm the mother, and if I say it, mothers, we're not always right. We have to be in a position to compromise with our children. I don't care if they're 2 years old. We got to listen. We got to weigh the situation. We got to pray on it. God, what do you want me to do in the situation? Because you should be as a mother that knows nothing. I know that's hard. I was a mother, thought I knew everything. I had to learn the hard way. Now I look back at it, I thank God that I had enough sense. I would always go to God. I've always been that kind of a child since I was little. I had these conversations with God. And I would say, well, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I just knew that he had the answer. Just like with my body, I said, God, you know, you made this body. I'm not going to run all to this doctor, that doctor, and have them tell me what's wrong with my body, and then I got to come back to you. I'm just going to believe that you're going to take care of this body and heal this body, and every day I'm just going to talk to you. If something come up, I'm coming directly to you. I've done that all my life. But that doesn't make me perfect. That just, you know, I focus on my health. I wish I'd have focused on my finances like that. You know, because I was steady on that body thing. You made this body, and that's been my talk all of my life. And I think sometimes I said, Bessie, why didn't you just, you know, because I wasn't raised about the finances. I wasn't taught the word of God in the way that I am now. The denomination I was raised in, I just wasn't taught, and I'm going to leave it like that. But as we grow and we know better, we have to change. We have to change the way that we think. We have to change the way that we're being. God for one thing, we believe in for all things. So with that mother, I don't know where she is today, and I pray and have prayed for them that they came to some resolution about the baby, about their relationship, and about her mother. Because her mother said, I cannot live like this. And I don't want to leave here, Dr. Fletcher, and not settle this with my daughter. That's why I stayed all day, because I was praying and hoping just for her mother that some resolution would come, because I could see she was very fragile. And I don't know if she's made a transition or not, but the way the daughter was acting, it certainly was not helping her health. You could see it. So I was willing to spend the day. I was willing to stay, give them all that I had. But even at that, I can't do anything. God can't do anything for you. People say, what do you mean God can't do anything? He can't until you change your mind. He can't do anything because he gave us the will to choose. And to choose, change your mind. It's one and the same. You're either going to choose life or death in your relationship. You're going to choose life and death with your relationship with him. You choose life or death with your relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You have the power and the authority to change your mind. And I'm asking you, and I'm challenging every mother out there, look at your relationship, not only with your daughter, your son, and I'm just going to use the word children because I focus on what God asked me to focus on, mothers and daughters. But my heart this morning is out for the children. There's too many killings. Mothers are losing their son. Daughters are being kidnapped. Daughters are being killed. And we're being busy. Your child, the young mother, should never be out of your sight. You should always know where your child is as much as possible. And with today's technology, there's no excuse not to be in contact with your child. Try to have a cell phone, text, or have a friend that has a cell phone. Mothers, you should be in a nurturing mode 24/7. That should be the main thing on your mind. God first, your children, and then you. Everything else should fall after that. Nothing should come before your children. That is your reason you're here. To rear that child according to the Word of God. That's a part of your whole total package. So that's why I wanted to continue this conversation today, because there's various situations involving children being left in cars. It breaks my heart when a mother runs into a store and says, I went in the store and I got busy, and she left the car with the windows up. Can you imagine 100 degrees? And that child suffocates. Because you wanted to go in the store to pick up something that's so irrelevant. A dress, a shoe, or a soda, or medicine, nothing. The one thing I can always, you can call me anything you want, but I tell you one thing, I kept my eyes on my daughter. Wherever I am, you stand right here. If I'm shopping, you stand right here. Never. I could not even imagine leaving her in the car. She thought I was being a little tight. No, you're not going to roam all over the store. You stand right here. When I finish what I'm doing, then we'll go look at what you want to look at. Or I would stop what I'm doing and go look at what she wants to look at and come back. But I'm going to go with you. Left unattended. That's unacceptable, mother. Left home alone. That's unacceptable. I know you have to work, but God will provide a way. We have got to be mothers helping each other. We've got to get back to that. When I'm home, I'll take care of your children. You know, I didn't go a lot. I went to work. I went to church. I came home. I was pretty much a homebody. And my neighbor, she said to me, well, I just thought you was one of those South Carolina women. I couldn't figure out why you stayed home, because they love to party. She's not here now. She don't mind me telling you. Good friend. We were good friends. But the one thing they would do, they would plan their schedule and their parties and events, because you know what? Bessie going to be home. Bessie is the babysitter. She says, I'm going to leave them in the house, and then you know, you just keep an eye on the house. No, you're not going to do that. You bring them in the house with me. So I was known as the neighborhood babysitter. I would keep the children because I didn't party, but they thought something was wrong with me. She says, I just thought you was one of those women from South Carolina. I guess meaning women from South Carolina are supposed to be, what, unintelligent or whatever. I mean, I was as educated and sophisticated as you want to be, but I just didn't go out in the streets. That was just never who I was. But I was the babysitter on the weekend. I'd rather keep your children than have them next door. So they grew up as my daughter's friends, but more of a sister. Why? Because their mothers wouldn't change their mind. They wouldn't change their mind on who they wanted to be. What was in on Friday? Let's go party. Let's hang out all day Saturday. Let's go party on Saturday night. And, you know, whatever. I'm not knocking that. But you got to put your children first. If you can do all of that and make sure your children is in place, you know, that's your life. You do that. But I'm saying, if you watch now, mothers, we have got to concentrate. And that was the whole purpose of God asking me to do this. He said, mothers are dropping the ball.
and I'm tired of the way the world is. And until mothers and daughters come together, then the world will make a shift. And I couldn't understand that shift. All I saw was the earth kind of moving back and forth. But then later on, God showed me, no, it's not the earth moving back and forth. The mind moving back and forth. It's the shift in the mind. Mothers and daughters changing their minds. That's the shift. And when you do that, the whole earth is going to change. Families are going to come together. And mothers, you're the majorette. You're the one that's leading the band. You can step high or you can step low. You can be in rhythm or you can be out. But God is going to hold you responsible. You can lead them to the right or you can lead them to the left. And most of you know what I'm talking about. So you need to change your mind on being too busy, being in a hurry, putting off what you need to do right now until later, putting your work before your children's needs, putting a man before your daughter or your children. Stop chasing the dollar over being a mother first. Stop trying to impress others and start impressing your children and your daughter especially. And mother, you can start by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, asking him to forgive you for your sins and asking him to come live in your heart. And when you do that and mean it, he'll come in, he'll take over, and you will see a change. You won't want to do the things that you used to do. Remember, you didn't just get into the situation overnight. So you got to be patient, and as God works with you, there's a lot of changing that has to take place in our bodies with what we want to do. And most of us, before the change can take place, in the transition of the change, we abort the transition. We're like, nah, I can't do that. I'm tired. This is too much. No. And you move on because you're not willing to change your mind. Because changing your mind means to change your body. That's why he said the body have to die. And we don't want the body to die. We want that body saying, I want this and I want it my way. But remember, whatever you feed your body, you feed your daughter. Change your mind on God, you change your mind on your children. That's my take on it. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. You said a couple of things that stuck with me. And as I listened to the story, it became very, very clear to me that...
Okay, hear you. You seem like you fall away.
Can you hear me now?
Hello, are you there?
Go ahead.
Hold on. I was saying a couple of things.
You want me to come back to you?
Hold on.
This is radio. I don't have the luxury
to
hold on.
I'm there. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Yes, a couple of things came to my mind as you were sharing that story. The word choice definitely was one of the things that you pointed out. It comes down to choice when it comes to changing our minds. You have to choose to change your mind, but the benefit for you in your thinking has to be greater than where you were. And when I say that, I say that the relationship has to be the bigger benefit as opposed to you holding on to past pains and hurts. Whatever is the greatest benefit for the person who has to make this decision, that's more than likely is the way he or she is going to go. And it's unfortunate. And then I heard you say another thing that stayed with me. the daughter deciding not to allow her son to see her mother after her mother had not gotten there as far as changing her mind. In my classes that I teach, I say this is life class. I've just adopted that saying, but in that I hear a lot of the ladies say when we are teaching psychology, I'm already a better mother than my mother. But when you choose to do the very thing that your mother is doing to you, it don't make you a better mother, because the goal in this life is to become a better person, and all those other adjectives will fall into place when you decide to be the best that you can be and don't do the same thing that your mother is doing to you. Jack, as her mother attempted to control her, she's attempted to control her mother by withholding the grandson. So it didn't make her any better than her mother, because she was doing the very same thing that her mother was doing to her. She was attempting to control the situation. And when we neglect to accept people for who they are, that doesn't mean we're going along with the nonsense, but to keep the grandson away from the mother, just like she was attempting to control her, she did the exact same thing. So she was withholding love from her mother and don't know the circumstances nor the dynamics of the family, but just based on what you stated, it showed me that she was doing the very thing that her mother was doing to her mother. She was trying to be in control of the situation when, in fact, God said love will take care of it all. But when we neglect it, when we neglect to put that love out there despite the behavior, because God loves us and he, despite our behavior, he never withhold his love from us. But who knows, that grandson might have been the piece to change the mother's mind.
That could very well be true. And when you said that, it brings us right back to, had the mother changed her mind, it would have changed the dynamics of the relationship. But since the mother didn't change her mind, the daughter did do the same thing, because as is the mother, so is the daughter. See, that's proof of the pudding right there. But had the mother changed her mind and was willing to negotiate, and of course I can't go into everything that we talked about, but she was not willing to negotiate. It had to be what she said, and there was no giving on her part. And so the daughter said, no, that's the way you've done me all your life. I'm willing to meet you halfway, but you got to come halfway. And when she said, no, this is what I'm going to do, well, then the daughter says, okay. So what the daughter did, like you say, the same thing that she did, she used the children against her husband, and now her daughter is using her child against the mother. As is the mother, so is the daughter. So, I often believe that if that mother changed her mind, it would have changed the dynamics in the whole mother and daughter relationship, that she would have let her keep the son. And, of course, you know, one of the things that she said, I don't want my son over at your place, is because your house is filthy. So, you know, you don't clean up, your bathtub is full of stuff, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Now, if you do these things, I can let my son come. So, you know, there was a lot of dynamics, but the mother's not willing. You got to be willing to change your mind on something. You got to be willing to, you in order to progress, you got to change your mind on something. So, therefore, I prayed that, you know, change came and that they've grown. I don't know. But as is the mother, so is the daughter. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed day.
You too. Love you much.
Love you too. So, you know, for all of you listeners out there, I'm hoping that it's sinking in and that some of you are getting it. You know, we have to change our minds. We have to change our minds in every relationship that we have. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Evangelist?
I'm doing great. Just listening to you as usual, and you hit it right on the spot. At first, I thought it was in my backyard because you know my story. I'm Evangelist Cecilia, and I been online with you for like a year or over a year, and you've been helping me and my daughter. And I just
for the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, I mean, from the beginning, it was so true. I mean, I was talking to you and telling you everything and want you to get my opinion on everything before you even, talk to my daughter. And I remember when you did, and you told me, you said, well, what about her? Isn't she in pain? I never thought for the first time that my daughter was in pain. I just knew about my pain. And, sometimes you get over in, about yourself and you don't look at the big picture. That's why you went to school and you got the degree and you know how to do it. And it took me a long time, and you kept telling me, let it go. But it was just something that I wanted my daughter to do, and she just couldn't. But with time passed, and talking to you and praying to God, I let it go, and now we have a relationship. And now if she never explained that to me, you know what I'm talking about, if she never do, it's okay. It's okay. God said it, it's okay. Let go. I got it. And once you give it to God, that's all you have to do.
Amen. Amen. And, as intense as we think things are, you look at Jesus, what he went through,
mm-hmm.
and you look at, oh, this is nothing. This is persecution. When you're serving and you're following Christ, the enemy going to come at you all kinds of ways. You know what I mean? He's going to try mm-hmm. to make you think. But now that you know, hey, this is my baby. God gave this baby to me. And she's not perfect. I'm not perfect. And God still loves us. So I am so proud of you guys. I know where you came from, and I am proud of you for being the mother to come on Saturday mornings and listen and write. And then you not only listen, you implement. And that's what I like about you. You implement what you hear. And you've come a long ways, and I am so proud of you guys. And God bless you. And, he's got something in store for you. It's something coming up, and he's been working with me to tell you. But we're coming. God bless you.
Okay,
don't
love
stop.
You.
Keep going. Love you, too. All right. God bless you guys. I appreciate you all coming on this morning. It's a beautiful day. Go out. Look at life totally different. Don't look at it the same way you used to look at it. Change your mind and just go to zero. Just go to art and just see what you see, not only in your relationship with your daughter, but just walk out in your yard. Just see what you see. See God in every person and everything, because he is in all things. Have a blessed week. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. God bless you. See you next Saturday.